Tennessee counties are required to have a fiscal year 2025-2026 budget passed by August 31st. There are still a couple of counties in Upper Cumberland that have not officially approved their budget. One of those counties is with me today. Alan Foster is the mayor of Cumberland County. Alan, thanks for being here.
Well, appreciate that. Great intro. Saying I'm late or almost late, I tell you, every time.
Brother, I'm late, too.
And yet I keep coming back.
Putnam County's late, too. Yeah. But, well, we're technically not late by the deadline. We're late by the preference. You know, the comptroller wants it to be done by June 30th.
Yeah.
And you and I have talked about on this show why we don't do that.
That's
We can talk about it again. But sure. I do want to update on the budget. When are y'all looking to approve your budget?
We're looking to approve our budget. August 12th is our public hearing, and followed by a special called public hearings at, I believe, 4:30, followed by the special called immediately after that to let the public come in and have their comments on it. It's a good, solid budget. We're doing well in Cumberland County, so looking forward to getting that done. You know, that's always a sigh of relief when the budget's done.
You can breathe, for sure. Yeah. So, remind me, do y'all always pass in August?
Usually late July, early August.
I think you pass. You normally pass the budget the same time Putnam County does.
Yeah, and we get the letters. I'm sure you get the letters. Oh, yeah. When are you going to pass it? When are you going to pass it?
Yeah, sometime today, right?
I always say before the 30th.
Yeah, before
before August 30th, we'll have her in there for
before the statutory deadline.
My grave saying that it saves the county and it saves the taxpayers' money. I fully realize you couldn't do it in a business and things like that necessarily the way we do it, but the way we're set up, the law lets you have a continuing resolution without passing a resolution. You're just on the continuing budget. It worked for Cumberland County. It might not for everybody, but it does us.
Alan, I think they know that and understand. Yeah. I think the comptroller's office understands your logic, Putnam County's logic, of why we wait till after the year end's closed.
Yeah.
But they still push for the year end of June 30th. And I get it. I'm not knocking it.
No.
But when it works for us. And so let's talk about why it works. I think in Putnam it works because we know exactly what we're starting with the year, right?
That's right.
Fund balance.
Yep. Fund balance is the key.
Yeah. And so I tell the budget committee, you determine what you're going to do the next budget year based on what fund balance you're going to have.
That's right.
And so you all, one of the lowest tax rates in the state.
Yep.
Is there a proposed tax increase now as it stands?
It's staying the same.
Staying the same. So August 12th. If nothing changes, your tax rate will stay the same.
That's correct.
Is it the lowest in the state?
It was until reappraisals, I think last year, knocked us to the third lowest in the state. I haven't checked it this year, but it was until that. And I would suspect reappraisals will drop us down again when they come up.
Well, y'all are growing, right? You haven't stopped growing as far as the tax base. And, I mean, I don't know if Cumberland County ever had a lower certified rate than what it was, or a higher certified rate, I should say, where reappraisals went down, right?
Right.
So, I mean, y'all are still growing.
Oh, we're growing. We're growing like crazy. We're actually by percentage outgrowing Putnam.
Really?
Yeah, we are. We're growing very fast. Last calendar year, the county codes department did 424 permits.
Wow.
Just the county.
Just a can. That's not in the city.
That's not in the city.
Yeah.
There's talk of it slowing, you know, but we've not really seen it yet. It may come. But last month, June, we did 40.
Wow.
40.
So where are they going to, Alan? What part of the county are they going to? Is it all over?
It's all over. Of course, always Fairfield has a concentration of it. But it's really just all over. Right now, if a builder can find a piece of land they can afford, they're just putting up as a lot of houses everywhere.
And Fairfield's not incorporated, right?
It is not.
Yeah. So that's part of the county, and that's why we leave. That's why you said the county, because it's not in the city. Crossville.
We have some at Flat Rock.
Yeah. Yeah. The new development.
Yeah. Yeah. They've done a lot of them out there, too. But we would still be strong without it, too. I mean, it's just growing.
So are people moving to Flat Rock to live?
Last time I talked to them, they're going to have villas. I believe there's 144 villas.
Okay.
That's fluid.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty pricey. Mm-hmm. I mean, we would need a group of 10 or 12 to buy one of them, I think. But they have villas, then they're soundproofed and everything. They're right in the track, right on a turn. It's amazing.
Really?
Yeah. Then there's also some homes being built, some 27, 28 homes that will be in there. There's paddocks, garages, a lodge, all kinds of stuff. So
wow.
That's part of the growth. But it's not all of it by any means.
No, it's not, because people are still moving. So what are some of the highlights in the budget as it stands now? Again, it's not been approved yet for Cumberland
right.
County. It's looking at in August. But what are some of the highlights? Are there employee raises built in?
There are. We did a salary study that came through around January or February. And the recommendation was to raise the scale, the whole entire scale, by 12%.
Okay.
And that was – that's a –
that's hefty.
That's hefty.
Yeah.
Well, we were behind. I mean, we were behind.
Right, right.
And so they decided to do 6% retroactive to January. So half of the raise they got already. And in this budget, if it passes again, you get up to another 6%. And I say up to because there is a slotting this year. So years of experience, not years with the county, but experience in your job and your grade – we'll come to a cross point there, and that's what you would make. If you get to your slot with less than 6%, that's what you get. They also proved that if it takes more, you know, 10 or 12 to get you to where you should be, they're going to go ahead and put you in that slot. So it was a big commitment by the commission to take care of the employees. And, you know, you got to have good county employees.
Yep.
Because, you know, you'll get the calls, and it's about public service. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I've always said, once you do your operational budget, the first thing you do is take care of the employees you have.
Right.
And then you look to see to add.
Yep.
Only then, because you got to take care of the ones you have.
I agree 100% with that. That's one reason you and I get along. So when you're looking at moving the pay scale, change it, did y'all put together a committee to do this?
We hired a third party.
Okay.
And every time we've done it, it's always disagreement. Some thinks we could do it internally. I don't think a committee can do it personally.
Right.
You don't have access as a committee, in my opinion, to the data that our third party does.
Yep.
And we're compared to Collar counties and other counties of similar demographics as well. It's not a public-private thing.
Right.
It's a county government thing, mm-hmm. that we are compared to. And the organizational management group has all that data. They collect the data. That's part of it. They evaluate job descriptions to see where they should be on the grade. And then they evaluate the market to see where the scale should be. And I think it'd be tough internally to do that.
Yeah. Well, we did ours in Putnam County a couple years ago. We improved our pay scale, and we've seen our turnover rate decrease dramatically, mm-hmm. because yeah. people – we were behind, too, and we said that in public in commission meetings. We're behind on compensating our employees, and once we made that effort, our employees are staying.
Yeah.
And we're recruiting people to come that want to be in county government and have a good pay and good benefits. So I think you're going to see over the next couple of years it's probably well worth the investment.
It's a cost to the taxpayer. I think it costs you a lot to not have people that are going to stay. You lose that experiential knowledge. And that's a bigger deal than it says
yeah.
with deputies and all these different positions. You're just training them to go somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
and you don't even get them on the road hardly before on certain things, paramedics, all these different, lots and lots of solid waste, things that affect people daily.
Yeah.
And if you can't keep them there, you got problems.
Yeah. So what else, any capital project plans for the budget right now as it is?
Yeah, there's a lot of capital projects. They voted actually, not necessarily capital project, but – to give another one-time gift to the road department of $2.9 million. He will be fully funded this year to do anything basically he wants to do.
Right.
Next year is another year. But I think in the last couple, 3 years, the commission has allocated an additional $5.9, counting this $2.9, almost $6 million in funding to the road department to try to get some of the issues there fixed. That was important. You know, the raises were huge. They weren't capital, but they were expensive. We
mm-hmm.
always invest in our ambulance service. We're three ambulances. You know, we're five police cars out of the general fund, and I believe we do two additional out of the drug fund. Lots of improvements, lots of things.
So on the highway funding, is that going towards paving and improving our roads, or is it
paving and tar chipping?
Yeah.
That's what it's going towards.
Well, I know for a while Cumberland County had the most gravel roads. I mean, you're a big county. It made sense that y'all had several miles of gravel roads. I'm sure that's changing, right?
We have still got a lot of gravel roads. There's not a whole lot on the road list. You know, some of them are private.
Right.
But we do still have a lot of gravel roads. I've always heard that you want to get them to tar chip because that's least expensive
yeah.
to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe try to get those to paved as
yep.
you can go. We're also looking to have a a road condition study done by an engineering firm that can, instead of guessing, you can look at empirical data that says here is where, you know, it's a LIDAR, it's a kind of a, you know, a sciencey thing, and it will tell us the condition of every road and the cost to get it up to where it needs to be.
Well, you're the county mayor, but I'm guessing you get calls about the roads.
Yes.
Every day, probably.
Yes, daily.
I need my road fixed.
Yes.
Well, I'll let the county highway superintendent know, or you need to call this number.
Right.
But as mayor, it's almost like you're the go-to for every problem in the county.
Yeah.
And as a commissioner, I can tell you right now, the most calls I get is about roads.
Yeah.
And I want my road fixed. I got a pothole. My daddy, love him to death. He's going to listen to this. I love you, Daddy. But he was frustrated, and Randy Jones does great for us. But there's a couple potholes, and he called and said, I need these potholes filled,
yeah.
You know, and so they did. They went down there and fixed them, and that's what they do. They're good at it.
Yeah.
But even family will call
yeah.
and say, I need something done. But you're sometimes the first line of defense.
Absolutely. And, you know, you're right. We do explain, you know, I can't control it. A countywide elected official is responsible to the public,
mm-hmm.
the boss is the voters.
That's right.
Every 4 years. But I do make a commitment, and every single time I reach out and let the road department know, hey, here are these people called in and are really needing some help. And you know, I do try to work with them.
Yeah. Well, of course you do. And, of course, going to the commission on the highway department's half saying these are the calls I get, we need to maybe add funding, whatever you may do, has always helped. So, I mean – we're here to serve, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're
right.
here to take those phone calls.
That's
and we're
right.
here to listen. As I mentioned, people sometimes just want to be heard, but that's why we're here. So I've got Alan Foster, Cumberland County Mayor, talking about the fiscal year budget. They are looking to approve it in August 12th at a special call meeting to have the fiscal year budget over with and done for Cumberland County. We'll talk more budget stuff and other things in Cumberland County in a moment after this break. Welcome back. This has been Rogers with Alan Foster, Cumberland County Mayor, here on Local Matters, talking about the fiscal year budget going to be voted on August 12th in Cumberland County at a special call meeting. You do have to have under the 1981 Act, you have a public hearing.
Yep.
And so you're having that first on the 12th. What time is that?
It's at 4:30, I believe.
4:30, the public hearing, and then after that will be the commission
yeah.
meeting. So that's August 12th for Cumberland County. You'll have the budget out of the way, you hope. No tax increase planned as of right now.
Yep.
You've got some raises for your employees, capital projects of help with the highway department. Some other things you'd mentioned to me, and well, I mean, we talked about the phone calls you get. A lot of it's roads, but I'm sure there's also public safety calls that you get as well. What are y'all doing to help the sheriff's department out?
We, a few years ago, you know, first response is of vital importance and responsibility for local governments. There's certain things we can sometimes get involved in that we don't necessarily want to be. So first response is important. And 2-3 years ago, it hit me. We need more responders. People get there. Fourth largest county geographically in the state, 681 square miles. And we need to be able to get help to people quicker. And so I started a conversation with the sheriff about would his guys be interested, would he, and being first responders medically.
Yeah.
Get their EMR and go forward with that. And I don't know if anybody else in the Upper Cumberland is doing it or not. I hadn't talked to him. And he started researching it, of course, being a good sheriff, the great sheriff that he is. And so he decided they wanted to do it. And it's some of the cheapest life-saving money we're ever going to spend in Cumberland County. I'm extremely proud of it. So our county, he has it broken down into four quadrants for service. And on each shift, there will be at least one person that's a first responder as well. Because in a large county, probably Putnam too, almost every time your police or sheriff are there first.
Yep.
I mean, almost. And I've lived that myself.
Right.
When my wife passed away, I saw it. But I mean, this was in the works before that. But they come up and they're going to come up. They're going to get trained. They're going to get $2 more an hour, and they'll be trained for first response. They're going to have a defibrillator right with them, and it'll be compatible with the ones that are on our ambulances. And they're going to have the medical bag and be able to do a lot of life saving stuff just right there on the scene. And I'm very excited about getting that going.
This makes me happy. As public servants, we're put into office to be change makers, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the good.
Yeah, hopefully. That's what the goal. That's the goal.
Not for the bad. Change makers for the good. And it seems like to me that is a really important step, because it's no shot at your EMS people. It's not saying they don't do the job. It's adding support for them and adding more people to get to somebody and respond quicker.
Well, EMS, they are in a station waiting for a call.
Mm-hmm.
The deputies are out all over our county, roaming, driving, moving. Yeah. They're going to be there just by default faster.
Sure.
I mean, there's no shame in that. This is the way that it works, and it's just a great program. We've invested in mid-budget cycle. We decided to purchase new cardiac monitors, $750,000 worth of cardiac monitors for our 13 ambulances, and it was a big debate. Do we want to spend this money? Can we buy the cheaper ones? And I'm, you know, if it's a capital, if we've got the money, if it's not going to be a tax increase, I want to get the best that we can get.
Sure.
And we got the highest end cardiac monitors on the market. I believe it's a 15 lead, which is all the things that, and the good thing about them is two of those leads go on your back, and there's somewhere 10, 20% of heart attacks that occur in the back. Every other monitor, you put the leads on the front, check it, and then if you want to do it, you have to take them off and put them on the back to check.
Yeah.
And so it was a big deal to us, and a good friend had no idea this would happen, but a month ago, a good friend of mine came into my office and told me that he'd just got out of the hospital, and he had a massive heart attack. And in his driveway, they hooked him up to those monitors. They found out it was a heart attack in the back of the heart using those leads. While they were sitting there, they sent the information to the hospital, local hospital, Cumberland Medical Center. We got an excellent hospital. And the cardiologist on duty there read the strip, gave orders to the ambulance. They took him in. They already had the OR prepped, and they put 5 stents in him. And it's just amazing, all because of that purchase. You know, that makes the things that you do worth it.
I was going to say, so you said
$750,000? $750,000 for 13 monitors.
Did y'all pay for it out of general fund or capital projects?
Yeah, we paid for it out of general fund balance.
One person, their life saved. It's worth it.
It was. And, you know, you hear that a lot, honestly.
Yeah.
When I was a commissioner, you know, everything you do is going to save. This was something that was real. And that won't be the only life either.
No.
Our hospital is now doing interventions. So they can place stents and everything now. And it was just, everything was in line. And, you know, we've had similar incidents. Our medical director a few years back decided to put a blood clotting drug on our ambulances. And the drug had come in, and the ambulances were getting it put on them that day, just as they came in. And we had a former officer that had a bad accident, and the police, they did all the logistics to get that drug out to him, gave it to him. And the day that we were getting that drug, it saved his life. And, you know, those are the things you invest in as a county.
Yeah.
You know.
So let me backtrack just a little bit. How'd the conversation about buying these cardiac machines come up? Where did that start?
We had known that it was coming for a while, and we were waiting for the new machines to come out. It started with our EMS, our EMS director, and we were just waiting for the machines to come out, because we knew they did some things that we really wanted to happen, and that's where that conversation started.
Well, so that tells me you got good people under you working.
Absolutely.
And I say under you, it's reality. The mayor is the supervisor over the ambulance director.
Yeah.
So that's the county government structure. So
if you count my office, I've got 12 departments that report to me.
Yeah. So
counting my office.
Yeah. So they're that he answers to you, but it tells me that you've got good people in place because they're thinking.
Yes.
And like, how can we improve the lives of our citizens? Well, let's get these machines, and maybe we can save some lives.
Well, you know, I don't hire people that want to sit on their hands.
Yeah.
I don't want to hire somebody that's the typical, stereotypical government worker that will try to go and work themselves to death trying not to do anything.
Right.
I want people to figure out solutions to problems, not create more problems. And so I've got a lot of staff that's that way. They're proactive. They're looking to make it better.
And you're right, you got to hire those people, but you also got to lead by example.
That's right.
And if you're leading by example and you're being proactive and you're not sitting on your rear end all the time and not doing anything, they're going to follow you and say, you know what, he can be active and he's thinking and he's looking at ways to improve. They're going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that's how we improve county government and lives of citizens. I'm getting on my soapbox, I'm sorry. But those things, those actions you all are taking in Cumberland County is evident and proof of what matters to people and what why we're here.
Yeah, and you know, it's a goal of mine to do all these things to move us forward while protecting the taxpayer. You know, that's extremely important to me. And we've been successful. We've been able to do that. We've not had a tax increase in years in Cumberland County. We've had good growth and things like that. But I was talking to some commissioners recently. We, in the last few years, we bought the new election offices over there in the road department. Nice place.
Been there, yeah.
Nice place. We purchased a new place for county clerk. Nice facility. Redid our archives. You know, you'd have some that don't see the need in that, but I mean, that's our history. We need to preserve our history. We did that. We're remodeling the courthouse, the military museum, Veterans Park, War Park. I mean, all these things, we've done that. We've done it on a cash basis.
Yeah.
We have paid off debt. We're going to pay off two more bonds this year, and we've increased our fund balance while doing that by being good stewards of the public's money, and that's my job. That's what I want to continue doing.
Yeah, and you lead me into a great segue for next segment. Alan Foster, Cumberland County Mayor, with me. Be back in just a moment after this break.
I was watching.
Alan Foster, Cumberland County Mayor, is with me here on Local Matters. This has been Rogers, and we have been talking the budget in Cumberland County, and all the good things they've been doing with their money and providing a better quality of life for their citizens there. Just excited to hear some of these things, Alan. You've done all these things. You paid cash for these improvements. You said cardiac machines for the ambulance, other medications you can use ambulance service. You're doing things by offering a better, you know, buying buildings and improving them for elections, for people to have room to come in and vote. And highway department's got a brand new. I mean, there's just so many things y'all are doing. And you haven't had a tax increase in how long?
Ooh.
As a county?
Not since I've been mayor, and when I was commissioner, it's been a long time.
It's been a long time. How in the world can Cumberland County do these things, pay cash for them so they're not going into debt, and not raise taxes?
Well, there's a couple of ways. The first one is fiscal responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to have commissioners that are willing to say no on occasion, because county government, you know, we don't always get to do all the fun things.
Right.
We got to fund the jails and the schools and things like that, not the real sexy fun things that we get to do. But I think the things that we're responsible for, we need to do it well. And we try to keep those things prioritized. And another big thing that helped us a lot is when a group of county mayors went, and others as well, to lobby to have the state change the sales tax laws. You know, the online purchasing really helps the counties. Yes. Because the sales tax goes to the destination.
Yep.
And before, it was just split on the same rate as the cities and counties, and so the cities were getting that, and we petitioned and got that changed so that your point of delivery is where the sales tax goes to, and that's been a big part of it too.
Sure.
But you got to still be fiscally responsible.
Well, you and some other mayors are very active in going down to Nashville.
Yes.
And talking with your legislators, and I think it's important, especially since in my new role, I've seen how much that matters. Your voice is being heard, especially when you go as a group, right?
Yep.
And they're paying attention to what y'all are needing, and they're making – the legislature's doing a really good job of listening to you all and trying to help with those needs.
Yeah, I mean, there's a group of us that I've been – and they know when you're there.
Yeah.
They know when you're there.
Oh, yeah. They're very aware when you're there.
And that's not a threatening thing. I think they're good – but we went over one issue that I won't get into, but and by the time we left the first office, you know, everybody – down there knew that what we were there about, and they were prepared and ready to talk. They were open and, you know, good discussions and everything. I'll say our legislators, generally speaking, are very open and willing to talk and negotiate and work for the betterment.
They are. So let's change directions. We've never really talked about this. You've been on several times. I always enjoy having you on because you and I are county government nerds. But what does a typical day look like in the county mayor's office, especially in Cumberland County? What do you when you wake up and get to the office, what does your day look like?
It's different every day. I joke I have ADHD. I don't know if I really do or not, but I think this is a good job if you do have it. I mean, you know, today I was at the chiropractor at 7, and then I was out at a community group speaking a couple hours later. And then I had an Association of County Mayors meeting in Sparta. I'm here doing radio. Yesterday I was with TDEC talking Cumberland Trail. There's over 70 miles of that goes right, the most of anywhere that goes right through Cumberland County. It's amazing. One of the things I didn't see coming when I ran for this job was the administrative side of it. Like I said, if you count my office, I've got 12 departments, not the roads, not the sheriff, but 12 departments. That takes up a hunk of your time. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the political things that you do, from ribbon cuttings to giving speeches. I counted once, and it was like over 100 times I spoke 1 year at different, you know, public speaking events. And, you know, it's the legislative side, going to Nashville. You know, during that time of year, we're there a lot. And we're on the executive board of the Upper Cumberland Development District and the Human Resources Agency. And I'd say the typical day is that there's no typical day. Constituent concerns, if I don't have appointments and somebody comes into my office, we're going to talk if
right.
I can.
Right.
You know, there's certain times that you just have to shut the door and work on other things. But I had a couple of kids come in a few days ago, and I heard one of them say, "Are you the mayor?" to my secretary. And she said, "No, he's in there." And I love kids. I guess that's my weak spot. And so I brought the two kids in. You know, the dad was a little worried, I think, that I give them free rein. You know, if they break something, I'll replace it. I don't care. But they were all excited. They got to meet the mayor, and they wanted their picture. I love that kind of stuff, too. But I would say there's no typical day, and I like that. I really like that.
Well, it keeps it interesting, right? It's never boring.
Yeah, absolutely. And it changes from the things that go on. You know, every Tuesday I have an economic and community development meeting with the Crossville mayor of the chamber. And so we're talking about ways of bringing in more tourism. You know, those are the best kind of dollars. They come in, spend their money, and leave, right?
Yeah.
That's the best kind of money. Had a water board meeting one day. You know, we're working on trying to get the Cumberland Plateau Water Authority going,
yeah,
which is a regionalization effort. We actually had our first utility join, working with a couple more right now. So
okay,
we're actually getting some movement on that. It's one of those things people said were impossible, but hey, I'm not going to quit. You know,
right,
I'm going to do what's best for the public on these things. And, you know, and then I said we're beating on the Cumberland Trail. And
tell me about the Cumberland Trail. What you said, 70 miles?
There's 71, 70-something miles that goes through Cumberland County, but it's over 300 and less than 400. It's like 370-something miles. It starts, I think, in Chattanooga and goes up to Kentucky.
Okay.
And so people, you know, people hike the Appalachian Trail.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, a third the size of that or a little more.
Right.
And so this started back many, many governors ago, and they're just about to get it finished under Governor Lee. For people, they'll go and walk that whole thing.
Really?
And yeah, they'll walk. I don't get it. Okay, you know, if you get over, I'll do say 2 miles.
2 miles, yeah.
You get over a 2 mile trail, and I'm getting iffy on it. Okay, and we're gonna have to have like a side by side carrying water or something like that. But I do like to hike, but not 370 miles. But it goes all the way through. Trailhead is in Cumberland County. The office is there, and they're talking about some easements for crossing roads.
Yeah.
It's crazy the things that you just wouldn't think the local mayor would deal with. It's a lot.
So what part of Cumberland County is this trail going through?
It's going through, really, I guess, the middle of it, but more of the eastern portion.
Okay.
That side.
Yeah.
And it comes through, it comes up through the valley, and it hits through Crab Orchard and all that area.
Nice.
Up through there. It was one of those visionary things. I forget the governor that started it, but it was several governors ago, and they're just now about to get it done.
Yeah. So, and I want to back up to something else you said, mm-hmm, the Regional Water Authority.
Mm-hmm.
What's the advantage of having an authority?
One of the biggest is economies of scale. You know, we can keep the water rates as low as possible for everybody. You know, the Chicken Little, Sky is Falling, people will run around and say, "Oh, this will cost you more." How can it cost you more when you're consolidating and getting more services? We've got, I think, 6 water utilities. Imagine if you had 6 electric companies.
Yeah.
How quick would your power get back on?
Right.
What would your rates be?
Right.
You know, so there's economies of scale there. And we are going to have another water source. Not maybe. Not we might.
Mm-hmm.
We will have to have another water source. That will have to be paid for, hopefully, by a combination of state, federal funds,
right,
and ratepayers at some point. If you don't do it together, my goodness, what that would cost.
Right.
You can do that and keep the cost as low as possible. There's going to be funding. Regionalization is a very popular thing with the state right now, and we're ahead of the game again. You know, We're not behind. We're not following. We're leading on that. The state likes it. They're appreciative of it. We're working very closely with TDEC with it. And I think it's going to be a solution for our Upper Cumberland area that's just going to be great for the public.
Has the comptroller's office weighed in on this?
Oh, yeah. They love it.
Okay.
They love it. They've went to several of the utility districts and explained to them, you know, how you're really combining resources and assets. So there's no loss. You know, in a utility, the customers own the utility. I don't care if it's a city utility. The customers own
sure.
it. That's how they're set up.
Yeah.
So the assets are owned by the people that are using those assets. That's basically the definition of one of the definitions of a utility. So combining those assets, you know, they could pay off debt. I mean, lower rates for customers. It's coming, and they're beginning to see it. It's good for the employees. It's good for the customers that actually own it.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those rare things that's a win-win. What you get into a lot with utilities, especially water, is it's about control.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, doing some regionalization is a visionary kind of thing. It's generational. You know, I've got the sweetest little granddaughter, Asa. And when she turns, you know, her water spigot, I want water to good, clean
right.
water to come out that's mm-hmm. affordable.
Right.
And it's not for me. That we're not going to have that big of a problem, hopefully, in my lifetime.
Right.
My kids, maybe. My granddaughter, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's just one of those things that we're going to keep plugging away at, and I believe it's going to be good for the public.
Working towards the future.
That's right.
Alan, I've always enjoyed being around you. You got 1 year left in your term, and right quick,
mm-hmm.
You don't have to announce if you're running again or not. That's up to you.
Oh, I'm running again.
Okay.
Yeah. I love this job.
Good. That's official then.
Yeah,
I'm glad
yeah,
you are.
Yeah.
The 12 months, basically, 11 or 13 months, what do you expect to get done?
I'm hoping to have more members in the Cumberland Plateau Water Authority during that. You know, it's been a slow go.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to get the courthouse done. Wow. That has been a project. You know, I've talked about that on here several
yeah.
times. We're within a year. I know it seems slow to the public, and I promise you, if your office is in that courthouse, it's even slower.
Yeah,
it's loud.
Yeah.
It's slow.
Yeah.
But I want to get that done. We should finally have broadband basically taken care of by the end of this term. And, you know, it sounds so like a silly thing at this point, but it was not. It was
right.
a very serious thing. 7 years ago when
sure
I took office, we had real problems, and we're going to have that solved to the largest extent.
Well, you got
soon.
An IT background. You know
yeah.
how important it is, right?
Yeah, I'm a nerd.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, yeah. I didn't say that.
That's what my daughter would call me. IT nerd, but that's okay.
Well, I've enjoyed having you on, Alan, as always. Cumberland County Mayor Alan Foster, updating us on Cumberland County. The budget hopefully will be passing in August, and that'll be one less thing you've got to worry about.
Yeah, we always look forward to that if you're in county. I guess any government anywhere getting that budget, because there's just so much work that goes
there
into
is.
It.
There is, and you do a really good job. I probably don't tell you enough, but I appreciate your
appreciate
service.
That. Yep. You know, on the budget, I'm the last page guy. They hand that thing out, and I'm looking for a negative
yep.
or a positive.
Yep.
That's right.
That over and under.
Yep.
Yep. Alan, thanks for being here on Local Matters.
Appreciate it.
Folks, remember, it's a lot easier to smile than a frown. Make somebody's day. Be kind to one another. Enjoy my time with Cumberland County Mayor Alan Foster. We'll see you next time.